Ches Menachem Ov, Monday the 5th of July, Rabbi David Kaplan. The real cause of the trouble. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lischus HaChoson Yisrael Meir V'Hakala Devor Zelda Shizvugam B'Siyat V'Shmaya Yale Yofo.
Good morning. The real cause of the trouble is that Tisha B'Av ends so late here. That's the real cause of the trouble, you know. I came from Yerushalayim because it's not enough of a challenge. You know, we finished at 7 o'clock. I decided, you know, got a real feel a little bit of Inui, you know. I wanna present an idea in the Gemara. Everybody knows the Gemara Kamsa by Kamsa. So I wanna present an idea which I later heard that Rav Brevda Zatzal had such a mahalach in the Gemara. And it clarifies several of the problems. Everybody knows there's a Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, Chorv Yerushalayim. The Poshup Shat seems to be wasn't this one individual incident that destroyed Yerushalayim as much as this incident was reflective of what was going on in Yerushalayim at the time. This sort of internal fighting, the sinas chinam that destroyed Yerushalayim. Now, we have to also keep everything in a proper perspective because, you know, people sometimes were, on the one hand, there was sinas chinam. And then Chazal say, Mitol Genusa Nata Shemea Shivchon, the Klai Yisrael, you know, we're pretty good. Jews are still pretty good. People say, well, Jews are always fighting. We're not fighting. You know, maybe a little bickering once in a while, you have a tie on the gabbai. But, you know, if we put it in a proper perspective, you know, my son goes to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there's 600 males between the ages of 18 and 22, and not once in 3 or 4 years has he seen a fist fight. You know, now, if you substitute any other name for that, you know, if they weren't Jewish males, they were Italian males, or Irish males between the ages of 18 and 20, you know, things would look a little bit different. So, you know, on the one hand, yeah, we're held to a higher standard, and maybe we have to, more is expected of us. So, the Gemara says that, Ahu Gavra, the Rachmei Kamsa, Baldavavi Bar Kamsa. He had a friend, Kamsa, the enemy is Bar Kamsa. Avad Sudasa, he made a feast. Amar Le Lishvae, Zil Aisile Kamsa. Go invite Kamsa. Azal Aisile Bar Kamsa. There are Mephoshim that say that you learn from here, don't do your shlichus through a seal. If you have shlichus to do, don't use a fool for your shlichus, because either he messed up unintentionally, or he thought he's going to make shalom. And he'll make shalom. He'll do it his way. Either way, he ends up with disastrous results. Also, the guy comes to the feast. Ashkechid Avi Yosef. Balba sees there's Kamsa sitting there. Omar Le, Michdi, hold on a second. Ahu Gavra Bal Devavid El Gavra. You know, we're enemies. My boy Socha, what are you doing here at my feast? We're doing at the banquet. Kum, get up, pook. Get out. Pook means exactly what it sounds like. Pook, get out. Omar Le, you know, listen, I'm here already. I'll pay you for my portion. Nowadays, it's a pretty generous offer. You know, I'll pay you for my portion at the chasna. I'll pay you for what I eat and my drink, including the bar. Amarlay, lo. Let them know. Amarlay, even though I have to pay you for half the banquet. Amarlay, lo. Nope. Amarlay, even though I have to pay you for the whole feast, the whole wedding feast, the whole banquet. Amar le, lo, nakte biyode, took him with his hands, apke biyode, v'ukbe, v'apke. He very unceremoniously dumped him out the door. Amar, so this Bar Kamsa says, ho, v'abu yasu rabbonu v'lo michube. Since rabbonu were sitting there, they didn't protest. Shema mino kanichalu. Must be that they're okay with it. Ezo lechu bu kurtzave maka. I'm going to go and I'm going to snitch on them to the Romans. And so he goes off to the Romans and he brings about the disaster that eventually leads to the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Okay, that's what the Gemara said. I have four questions here. Poshup Shat is a vada. The Poshup Shat is that there's internal bickering, they're fighting, it wasn't nice, the Rabbanan weren't mocha. There are Mefarshim that say that the Rabbanan couldn't be mocha, that they, even if they would have been mocha, it wouldn't have helped. There are others that blame the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan should have been mocha. Okay, Nevada, that's the Poshup Shat in the Gemara. The Chazal Kidarkam have managed to sneak in here, they've inserted in here an idea which is really the cause of the Churban. Avigdor Miller said, and I'll tell you in a moment what he said, and Chazal have clearly put it into the Gemara. I have four questions on the Gemara. Everybody should ask these questions. The Gemara doesn't make any sense. Number one, why is Kamsa blamed? Everybody has Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. How did I get into the picture? This guy Kamsa wakes up in the morning. He goes to his Daf Yomi Shir. They're learning Gittin Nun Heyam and Beis, and he sees Akamsa Yerushalayim and Beis. Wait, Kamsa, what did I do? You know, well, you were meant to have been invited, and you didn't get invited. I mean, listen, you would get blamed for things in life, but this is ridiculous. What are you blaming me for? Over here? I didn't even know. Number one. Number two. Why isn't the Balabas blamed? Where's the Balabas? I mean, he's the biggest villain in the story. Walks over to Guy, Anva Ada, picks him up, throws him out. Where are you in the story over here? The worst person. He's really the one who should be blamed more than anybody else. Number three is, you know, why didn't you go and ask the Rabbanim? I mean, you're sitting at a chasna, and the Rabbanim, you get thrown out. The Rabbanim don't get involved. I mean, why don't you go over to Rabosai? Did you see what just happened over here? You're sitting there silently. You don't say anything. Come to them the next day. You know what? I got tainas. What? Nobody's ever had tainas on the Rabbanim. Right? I got tainas. What's going on over here? Why did you protest? Number four. Let's say they were wrong. Let's say the Rabbanim should, according to the Mefarshim, said they should have protested. Okay, so they should have protested. They didn't protest. You were embarrassed. And what's that got to do going to the Romans? So what's your head there? So the Rabbanim didn't brought. I'm going to the Romans. What's one thing got to do with another over here? What are you going to the Romans for? So these questions were bothering me very much. Most of all, what was bothering me was, you know, a couple of months ago, I made a chasna. So, real good to you. I made a chasna. Now, imagine I would have walked into the chasna, and there's a guy sitting there who I don't like. You know, the guy, he's, you know, mamish my enemy. What does he do? He sits in my seat in shul every morning. You know, he takes my parking spot. I mean, what can he do? Right? We had a nasty argument in business once. Okay, that guy's my enemy. So I walk over to the guy. You know, by the way, out. You're my enemy. I'll pay you for this. I'll pay you for my portion. Out. I'll pay you for half the chasna. Out. I'll pay for the whole thing. Deal. I mean, why? Yeah, I mean, how much do you dislike the guy already? How much could you possibly dislike a guy that for a whole chasna he's going to pay you a whole chasna and you're going to say no? I mean, what could he have done already? What could the guy have done already? What is it? Well, number one. So I was very bothered until I saw there's one word in the Gemara I think is the key, opens up the entire Gemara. Gemara says, Omar, hold the Yosra Rabbanan velo Michu Bey, since the Rabbanan didn't protest, Shmamina Kanichalu. Shmamina, the guy's a landed. All of a sudden he's dying, he's fetching mitasam. Shmamina Kanichalu. Why don't you go and ask them? Why don't you go and ask the Rabbanan? How do you know they even saw? You know, like in life, let's face it, you know, if you're in shul and a couple of guys start getting upset with each other in shul, there's a little bickering or yelling in shul, that everybody notices. Everybody in shul, ooh, you know, something's happened to break the monotony of what's going on in shul. Somebody's upset with the gabbai, somebody's yelling, that everybody, ooh, they're going at it again. You know, that everybody notices. You're sitting in a chasna, you got a plate full of food in front of you, and two guys on the other side of the room are sitting there fighting over a seat. You ever notice that? Oh, let them fight. I don't even notice it. Who cares? This is much more interesting than that. The Rabbanan are sitting in a chasna, sitting at a banquet. Who said the Rabbanan noticed? What is he darshaning shmamina? Bothered me very much. So I think that the pshat, again, I heard this both from Rav Brevda and Rav Igdor Miller, same type of mahalach. There's only one type of hatred that justifies throwing a guy out and not taking any compensation for it. That's an ideological hatred. This Bar Kamsa is a no-goodnik. He's one of the Amaratzim who's Sone Tamid HaChomen. He could be in the worst scenario. He might even be a Tzeduki. This Bar Kamsa is somebody who is clearly Sone Tamid HaChomen. Somebody Sone Tamid HaChomen, if he's a Tzeduki, he's mamish somebody that you're also, he can't be Mitzarif and Dominion, he's not allowed in your, he's Yotze Michal Amcha. We don't have such a person around. Bar Kamsa, the Mefarshim say, is an indication, because it means the next Kamsa, Ubar Kamsa. It's the next generation. That means we've always found in Jewish history, you have the older generation, which is already, they're the loyal to the Torah. Then you have Bar Kamsa, you have the progressive generation. They already are the new generation, Bar Kamsa, the new generation, who is more, what do you call it, they're more enlightened than the previous generation, and never brought any bracha to Klal Yisrael. This Bar Kamsa is a Tzeduki, he's enlightened, whatever he is. So the Balabas comes to him and says, get out, can't have you sitting here. Now, He offers to pay half the mitzvah, the whole suda. We can't take compensation. Ideologically, you're not allowed to be here. You may have to throw, it's not a money issue over here. We don't want you here. We don't want you sitting in the room with us. We can't have you sitting in the room with us. Mimela, he has got the right to throw this bar kamsa out. So the balabas doesn't get blamed, because the balabas was right for doing what he was doing. So the balabas doesn't get blamed. What about kamsa? What about kamsa? So I saw one of the Mefarshim says, if there's a bar kamsa, the word bar kamsa, pashut pshat bar kamsa means the son of kamsa. If there's a bar kamsa, he got it from his father, kamsa. If you have a son who turned into a bar kamsa, something in the attitude came from the kamsa. So the father comes home from shul, and he says, the Rav gave a drasha today, I gotta get plapolt. You know, okay, that attitude came into the son. If a father comes home and he criticizes the menial, criticizes the rebbeim, criticizes this, complains about Yiddishkeit, moaning and groaning, that's an attitude that's going to be absorbed by the next generation. If there's a kamsa, mimele bar kamsa is blank. That explains what this bar kamsa was looking for. So bar kamsa goes, and bar kamsa, when he sees the rabbanim, he's being thrown out. Shmamino, the rabbanim are okay with it. Why is he shmamino? Why is he fetching with the thumb? Why shmamino? The answer is, he's been looking for an excuse all along to blame the Rabbanan. He's always looking to pick. There are certain times people are looking to pick on the Rabbanan. This Tzeduki or this Amo Oretz, whatever he is, he's looking to pick. Chazal say, Rabbi Kiva, when he was in Amo Oretz, Chazal, the Gemara Pesachim says, that Rabbi Kiva said, Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara over there says, the Amoratzin hated the Talmid HaChachamim. It's a shocking statement. His Mamash Nogia, I live in Israel, I know this very Yom Yom in Eretz Yisrael. They hate the Talmid HaChachamim more than the Goyim hate the Jews. The Amoratzin hate the Talmid HaChachamim more than the Goyim hate the Jews. I mean, think of the hatred that we've suffered, and Chazal are telling us, more than the Goyim hate the Jews, the Amoratzin hate the Talmid HaChachamim. So Rabbi Akiva himself, at the point that when he was in Amoretz, there was a certain, the Amoratzim have a venomous hatred towards the Talmid Chachamim. This Bar Kamsa is looking for his excuse. Why didn't he go and ask the Rabbanim? Why should I ask the Rabbanim? If I ask them, I might get a wrong answer. They might say, oh, we didn't notice. Oh, we're terribly sorry. Then he'll be very disappointed. It's like the guy is standing outside his house, and the front door is locked. So his neighbor comes by, he says, you know, the wife forgot to leave the key. So, you know, the guy's upset over there because, you know, his wife forgot to leave the key. He's locked out the front door. So his neighbor says, Shlomi, come by us. You know, you could have come in, you have a cup of tea. You know, you sit down. He says, no. He says, why not? He says, because I might calm down by the time my wife comes home. That's no good. I want to make sure she knows, So this Bar Kamsa doesn't want to ask because he's going to be disappointed. This Bar Kamsa is going to go, what if the Rabbanan have a good excuse? That's no good. Shmamino means that I got the taina that I've been looking for. That's why he turns into a lambit. Guy told me he has a shop, a grocery store, and in this grocery store, he's got a display of candy where you could go and you could fill up a bag of candy and you put it on the scale and you buy the candy. Okay, so a man walks into the store and he's shopping, and then while he's shopping, he's munching on the candy. So it's one thing if you taste. It's another thing, Kisuda Shlomo Bishoso. I know a guy in Eretz Yisrael is a bulker who brags that he never has to buy cashews or pistachios. He goes around to all of the shops, he goes in, he helps himself to taste, helps a couple, goes to the next shop, and he has all, So this guy walks in, the Balabas comes over, he says, listen, one or two you want to taste, but it's excessive. The guy says, okay, comes back the next time, and he continues. Right? Again, he's eating away. Comes back a third time, Balabas again says to him, comes back a third time. This time Balabas doesn't say anything. He says, listen, I can't, so it's a waste. The guy doesn't understand. Okay. 6 months later, Balabas is sitting in his office. He's got a camera that's got a complete view of the entire shop. A little girl, 7-year-old girl, walks in, and she's taking candy, she's stuffing it in her pockets. This guy, he takes her, he says, listen, come into my office. And I said, empty your pockets. He says, okay, listen, I have to call your parents. He called the parents. Father comes down. He says, father, what your daughter did? She's stuffing her pockets. So the father walks over, he's about to give her a slap. The guy grabs the father. He says, if you slap her, I'm going to slap you. I told you 3 times not to take candy from my shop. I told you 3 times to take candy. What do you want from her? Mayasa usoha ben velo yechata, usoha bas velo techa. What do you want? You're the one. She's learning from your example. There's a bar kamsa. There's a kamsa lurking somewhere in the background. There's got to be a kamsa lurking. So I heard this from Rav Brevda as well. And Rav Victor Miller said, the sinas chinam which we always think of in superficial terms of the little petty bickering, which about it, that's certainly a cause. Rav Avigdor Miller said the sinas chinam was the sinah of the amaratzim to the Talmid HaChomim at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the sinas chinam. Everybody's sinas chinam, that we're always, it's always the frum who are at fault for all of the relationships with everybody else. What about everybody else who hates the frum? So that's the sinas, it's the real sinas chinam. That's the sinas chinam that destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. I heard a shocking story about a boy. A boy went out on a shidduch, and so the shatkin calls him up afterwards. You know, he calls up the shatkin. He says he's very interested. Shatkin says, "I'm sorry, the girl's not interested in seeing you." So why not? Well, she said every time she said anything, he said, "That doesn't matter. That you know, don't make a big deal out of it. It's insignificant. Forget about it." Did you really talk like that to her? You said that to her? He said, "Yeah." It really? I mean, the girl called me up. She said she was the guy was mamish. It was very unpleasant. You see, why did you speak like that to her? He says, "Listen, you know, I was going out. It's the first time I ever went out on a shidduch. I never spoke to a girl before in my life. And so I went to my Rebbe in Yeshiva, and I said to my Rebbe, you know, I'm going out. How do I talk to a girl?" So my Rebbe said, "That's not a big deal. Just talk to her the way your father talks to your mother." So I did. So, you know, it's funny, but it's not funny. If there's a var kamsa, that means that there's a kamsa lurking. The Maral says that kamsa, what's a kamsa? I mean, it's a strange word. Kamsa bar kamsa. What does kamsa mean? So kamsa, according to the Maral, means kamsa is a locust. And locusts come in the millions. I forgot the Lashon HaMaral. I think he means when you have numbers like that, the locust is a simon of pirud. It's a simon of some sort of, what's the best word in English for pirud? What's the word?
Division.
Division. Division among people. And Melech Kamsa Bar Kamsa uses the word of locust because that's the symbol of division among people. So he uses a Lashon of division. Now, there is a famous Gemara at the end of Tainus that says that la'asid lovo, just keep me posted on the time. La'asid lovo says, "Asid kodesh rocha lasos machol la tzadikim." Kodesh rocha is going to make a circle for the tzadikim, and they're going to point in the middle, "Zeh Hashem kivin lo nagila v'nitzvacha bishuasa." Gemara at the end of Tainus. So, the question is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he makes a circle? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a machol, a machol means a circle that's going around. Like when you dance in a circle. And everybody's going to stand on the circle, the tzaddikim are going to be there, and everybody's going to point in the middle. The question is, why do you need to go around in a circle? Machol, this means going around. Why do you need to go around in a circle? You could go around, you could stand in one place, and you could point in the middle, you could say, Zashem kivin lo nagila v'nitzvacha b'shuasa. So I heard a shir once from Zev Lefshita, said like this. Judaism has many different groups of people. There's Ashkenazim, there's Sephardim, there's Hasidim, there's Litvish, there's all, you know, we got very multi-flavored people. Now, at the end of the day, in the heart of hearts, you know, everybody respects everybody else's nusach and everybody else's way and everybody else's derech and avodas Hashem. But often in the heart of hearts, we say, "Well, I respect your way as long as really you understand that my way is the right way. Everybody's way is the right way." But, you know, as George Orwellberg might have said, you know, there are many ways of serving Hashem, but some ways are better than others. You know, I mean, even though they're all equal, but my way, you know, at the end, in your heart of hearts. He says, "Asina goes rovelasos mocholot tzaddikim," means that the tzaddikim are going to go around in a circle. When you go around in a circle, now you're standing where the other person was standing. I'm standing where you were standing. You're standing where I was standing. And Mela, now I'm able to see you. I have your perspective in avodas Hashem. I could see the Shechina. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo. We're pointing Zeh Hashem. I see him the way you saw him. I understand your avoda. I understand how you were serving. There are 12 shvatim in Klal Yisrael. So the Kamsa Bar Kamsa is a pirud. It's locust. It stands for pirud. The ultimate level of Klal Yisrael is that people are standing around and everybody goes around the circle and understands that there are different ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So different ways of serving their bonus law. Obviously, you know, sometimes people banter about the word hashkafa. People use the word hashkafa. It's my hashkafa. Well, just because you use the word hashkafa doesn't mean that your approach is correct. Hashkafa is a nice word. And just because you use a nice Jewish word doesn't mean that your approach is correct. As a matter of fact, Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal once said, Rav Simcha Wasserman was at a convention of Rabbonim. And somehow a Reform rabbi showed up, and he approaches Rabbi Wasserman. Rabbi Wasserman Zatzal, he says, you know, Rabbi Wasserman, why is it that there are so many types of Jews? You know, why can't we all be one type? First states, let's all be Reform. Why can't we all be one type? So Rabbi Wasserman said to him, you know, in every army, there are different branches of the army. There are different soldiers in the army. And each Jew, you know, they have the Air Force, they have the Navy, they have the Marines. You know, and different soldiers are different branches of the army. So the guy smiles at him. He says, so what branch of the army are Reform? So Rabbi Wasserman looks at him and says, well, every army has deserters. You know, every So when Chazal say that in the Fleosi Lava, Chazal say that everybody's going to be in a circle, it says, it doesn't mean just because you want to be there, be in a circle, you've got to be the tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim are in the circle. That's the pshat in the Gemara there. Now, Vayikra in the Gemara, the natural continuation is the Gemara on Nun Ches. The Gemara on Nun Ches says, the very touching story of the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel called Maisa Bivno Ubito Shor Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha Shidishvu L'Shnei Adonim. They were captured by two Romans. Captured them. Liyomim Nizdavgu Shneim B'Makom Echad. They were both joined in one place. The two guys met each other. Zeh Omer Yeshli Eved Shein Kiyofio B'Cholom. I've got a slave who is unmatched beauty. Beautiful. The son of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha was beautiful. A slave who's got unmatched beauty. I have a shifra who has unmatched beauty as well. Let's marry them off. And we'll divide up the offspring. They put him in a room, obviously a dark room. They each one sat in a corner. I'm a kohen ben kohanim gedolim. I'm going to marry a shifcha. I'm going to marry a maid service, a servant, defile myself. I'm going to die. Ubachu kol halayla. They sat there crying all night. The two of them sat in their respective corners, crying all night because Chas Hashem that they should defile their kohuna. Kevan shalom u'rashachar. When the sun rose, he kiruzeh zeh v'nafluzeh zeh v'gol b'vchiyah ad sheyotza nishmasam. They died of crying. They died. In the morning, they recognized each other. They cried until their neshama's left. V'aleim konin yirmiyo v'chul al ilani b'chiyah. Okay. Now, the question is like this. You know, what are they crying about? What are they crying about? Okay, they were crying all night because of the unknown. All night, they're crying because of the unknown. Now, what are they crying about in the morning? Okay, now they see each other. Okay, you got tears of joy, you know. So what are they crying about? So I think there are two ideas here in the Gemara. First idea is that they're thinking about how close they came to becoming defiled. You know, sometimes in life you cry with relief when you realize where you were, what could have happened, and what didn't happen. Then a person, all of a sudden, the dam bursts, and the tears bursts come out, because a person realizes they were so close to the precipice, and they could have fallen, they were so close to being defiled, and they, you know, they realize that they got out of it at the last second, Baruch Hashem, they were saved. So mainly they're crying. And, you know, just parenthetically, if they were crying about how close they came, so, you know, nowadays with what goes on in the world today, so we should probably do some crying of our own. The matzah of today is such, you know, I heard once a Chassidish Rebbe once said, the Pasuk says, Vayar Yaakov is p'nei Lovan v'nei enenu imo kisvel shilsho. Yaakov saw Lovan's face, and he decided, that's not like he used to be, I better get out of here. So the Pasuk Pshat is that Yaakov Avinu saw, when he arrived in Choron, Lovan greeted him with a smile. After 20 years of accumulating material wealth, at this point, Lovan's not so happy anymore. So Yaakov takes a look at Lovan. Lovan's not smiling like you see. Yaakov says, you know, it's gotten uncomfortable. It's time to get out of here. That's about the Poshup Shah and the Pozik. So I heard a Chassidish Rebbe said, you know what Yaakov was saying? The Torah is telling us. When Yaakov arrived in Choron, he took one look at Lovan's face. This guy's a lowlife. This guy's a no good nick. This guy's every midah ra'ah, shemonu chachomim. This guy's got everything bad about him. After 20 years, he takes a look at Yaakov. Takes a look. Vayar Yaakov's been ill. Vayinei nenu imoki svel shilsho. Lovin doesn't look as bad as he used to. I better get out of here. If Lovin doesn't look as bad as he used to, it's time to leave. because that means that there's been somehow my own sensitivities have been eroded. It's not like, okay, so Yaakov Avinu wasn't eroded, but certainly the Torah is trying to teach us there's a lesson here. And unfortunately, if we think to ourselves, what's happened to our sensitivities? The world has become so vulgar, both in the human and in the technological manner, that our own sensitivities have been dulled. That's Vavada, the first lesson from Rabbi Shmuel, the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. I think the second lesson is Nogea back to Kamsa Bar Kamsa. What are they crying about? He's sitting all night in the dark. There's a Shifra in the corner over there. She's sitting all night in the dark. There's an Eved in the corner over there. Then the sun rises. Then they recognize each other. Who is it? They call him Gedolim. All night long, I was convinced that's a Shifra. The lowest of the low. All night long, I sat there, the guy over there, I'm sure the guy's in Eved. All night long, I'm convinced. Then the sun rises. What are they crying about when the sun rises? The sun rises. They see each other. Ooh, boy, was I off. You know what they're crying about? They're crying for themselves. That's what they're crying for. Person understands, this is somebody, there's a Jew over there in the corner, I've got my mind made up about him, and this guy is, what do you call it, how good could he possibly be? Then one day you find out, this guy is a B'nai Kohanim, a Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh, that he's also a Kohen. He's also B'nai Kohanim, Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh. That's the Tikkun, that's the Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the inter-fighting between Jews, the fighting of the not looking at somebody in the positive light. Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the son and daughter of Yishon Kohen Gadol, when the light comes up, and then you see a person, even a Jew, the least significant Jew, is filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. And I often think to myself, it's unfortunate that we find out about people, unfortunately, at a levaya. It's unfortunate. We wait until the levaya, Rachman Litzlan. And at the levaya, often here has spadim. And hear stories at the Shiva house, you say, ooh, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know he was involved with that organization. I didn't know he gave so much money. I didn't know he got up at 5 in the morning to learn. I didn't know there was an almana he helped. I didn't know. Of course he didn't know. Of course, how could we possibly know? Because we don't know. So we're in the dark. And then while we're in the dark, we're thinking a certain thing. And then at the Levaya, a person's ready to cry at the Levaya. What should we really cry for ourselves? Cry for ourselves. For that eye, that look that we have on the other person, and that's what we're learning from the Gemara, both Kamsa Bar Kamsa, is the Sinas Amratzin of Tamid HaChomim, that we have to see Tamid HaChomim in the proper light, and for Rishol, and the son and daughter of Rishol Kohen Gadol, is that we have to see every Jew in the proper light. See every Jew in the proper light, the Mizelcha to the Geula.